Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows, only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
The geeky dad of the week is...
writer David Cole is here with us today. Okay, before we have our guest on the show, we're going to do a review of his book. David Cole gave us a copy of the
first book of this new series of Emily and Sam. The book is called Emily and Sam and the Case of the Missing Turtle.
Yes, and Rayon, the multiverse kid, is the perfect target audience for this book because it's a book made for first graders all the way to third graders. So,
and I am a third grader.
Yes, yes. And, you know, if you have any listeners out there, if you have any kids in that age range, this is a perfect book to get them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rayon, can you tell us a little bit about the book? And don't give away too many spoilers.
I'm just going to tell you what happens at the beginning. Like...
okay, go ahead.
It's about in the plot.
Go ahead.
In the beginning, it's about two kids, a boy named Sam, who's riding his bike, but then he suddenly stops. His sister, Emily, who's his twin sister, doesn't stop, so she has to move out of the way to miss him. Then she stops.
And why does she stop?
Because Sam stopped and he was in the middle, so she was going to crash into him.
Yeah, and why? What did they find?
Sam found a turtle, but his sister saw it was a snake. So when he showed her, she was relieved because she's scared of snakes.
She's scared of snakes. Now, and they get in a whole bunch of different adventures, right?
Yes. So they take the turtle to the basement. They name him Chomper because he eats food a lot.
Yes. Okay. Don't give away everything. Okay. Don't give away everything. Now, Rayon. We've had Mr. David Cole on the show before, and he had a book called The Math Kids, and Ariana was the one who reviewed it, and you didn't get to review it that time because you were too small at the time and you didn't know how to read properly. But now
I do know. I did know.
Now you know how to read. And you know, we should get you to read the Math Kids, but you know, your sister is hogging the book and doesn't want to give it to you.
She's hogging all of her books.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Mr. David Cole, you got to hook us up with some more Math Kids books for this kid, okay? Now, what would you grade this book?
For first graders, I think it would be 4. For second graders, it would be 4, and third, 4. It has...
yeah, so you're going to give it 4 out of 4 thumbs up?
Yes.
Yes, that's the high grade. 4 thumbs is the high grade, okay?
That's the most it can go.
Yes.
And...
so did you like the illustrations in the book?
Yes.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And you like the story?
Yes.
Yeah. So this is book 1. So I'm assuming there's going to be more books.
Yes.
So would you be interested in reading the other books?
Yes, because it could have more other stuff about the adventures of Sam and Emily.
You have a big sister, and you know you want to. Do you guys get in adventures like these kids?
No.
You what? You scared to go outside?
Do you think we'd have a turtle and hide it from you and put it in a basement?
Yeah, you can't hide that in a basement because the basement is where we do this show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd probably notice a turtle in the basement.
Yes.
Yeah. But
I didn't know if we sneak out of the house.
Yes, because I keep tabs on you all the time.
What?
Yeah. So, anyhow, that is the review. And, the kid seems to have liked it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we'll be right back, and we'll be talking with the author of this book. And he's going to talk about all how he came up with the ideas and everything, and it's going to be a fun time. So we'll be right back.
Hey everyone, it's the Geeky Dad here. Exciting news from Ancient City Designs, a haven for handcrafted treasures. Rick and Tony Rosenbaum pour their hearts into creating stunning, affordable pieces. Did you know they now have a permanent booth at Coconut Barrel in St. Augustine, an artisan market featuring over 200 local vendors. At Coconut Barrel, you can find a selection of their inventory available for sale every day. But if you're not in the St. Augustine area, don't worry. They offer free shipping across the U.S. Though their custom-made wonders take about 3 weeks, it's worth the wait. Rick and Tony keep you in the loop with visuals and updates every step of the way. Returns and exchanges aren't an option, but fear not. They're dedicated to nailing your vision and ensuring your satisfaction. Located in St. Augustine, this husband and wife duo can't wait to craft something special just for you. Check out Ancient City Designs online or visit their booth at Coconut Barrel for local treasures and that special local discount. So, don't miss out. Visit ancientcitydesigns.com today and discover the magic of handmade at Ancient City Designs. Be sure to tell them that the Geeky Dad sent you.
Now on with the show.
Okay, folks, we have a very special guest. We have a returning guest. Okay, we hardly ever do returning guests, only for special people. And this person is very special. Mr. David Cole is with us again. How has it been? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been very, very busy, and I'm really excited to, repeat guests. I've done a few podcasts, but this is my first repeat, so I'm pretty excited about that.
So, you know, since you haven't been on show for so long, you've had a lot of books come out since then, right?
I think the last time we talked, your kids were reviewing book 4.
Yeah.
Because I remember
what
you saying.
What are you up to now?
Book 9. Book 9 yeah, is close, coming out, right? In a couple of weeks. And in the meantime, I've also started a whole new series called Emily and Sam, and I've completed 3 books in that series. So I've been busy.
So that's the book we're talking about today. The kids are going to be reviewing that book. Now, you said you've already done 3 books, right?
Completed 3. The first one actually comes out in, I think, about in a couple of weeks. So it's getting very close. Reviews have been.
What's the official date? Because when this gets released, it's probably going to be a different date from 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Yeah, yeah. It's just came out.
Ah, okay. So you can get this at the publisher website and Amazon as well.
Yeah, and should be in bookstores. Typical bookstores. I know it's in a lot of independent bookstores, but mm-hmm. I've been doing some book signings at Barnes and Noble, so yeah. I think they're there as well.
Yeah, I mean, in New York, there's very few bookstores out these days, you know. So if you're lucky to find a bookstore, go and venture out and look for them. They're worthwhile. You got to keep them in business.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really disappointing to me because I still buy a ton of books, and I'll buy them online, but and I like going and touching, feeling books and looking at covers and reading through a few pages, and I think we're losing that.
Yeah, and you know, in school with my kids, they're doing most of the books virtual, like hardly any physical books anymore in school.
Right.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not like when we went to school.
Right, right. Yeah. Even when I used to fly a lot, I would see a lot of people reading books on planes. Uh-huh. Now I see a lot of e-readers. It's changing.
Yeah, well, that's technology for you, right?
Right.
Soon,
yeah, good or bad, it's out there.
Soon to just download the whole book into your brain.
Exactly right. There it'll be.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about this new book series.
So the Math Kids book series was really popular, and I have some parents reach out to me through my website, and I always like hearing from readers. And they said, you know, my kids love your books, but I've got a couple of younger kids, and your books are a little too old for them. So my first grader, my second grader, Math Kids are geared kind of third to sixth, fourth to sixth. And they said, do you have anything for younger kids? And I thought about it. This was around, I don't know, about a year or so ago. And I said, well, let me try that. Let me just see what. So I wrote a book, sent it to my publisher, loved the book, sent me a contract for the first three books. So completed the first three books and ready to go. So it's kind of a little bit of a junior version of the Math Kids in that there's a couple of kids. They happen to be twins, siblings, and they kind of get into trouble and have to kind of use their intelligence to solve the problems that they're having. But it's not always math. Could be science, could be reading, whatever it is. So these books are a little bit different in that they're not just solely focused on the math side of things.
Right. So that was the problem when we did the show with you the first time, because my daughter was older and my younger son was a little too young to read the book. So he was a little upset that he did not get a chance to do the review. So, you know, now he's doing the review only. So he's getting a little bit of payback this time.
There you go. Questions get tougher and
Yeah. So, was there ever a thought about like making maybe setting this inside the same universe as the Math Kids, like making it like a prequel or something?
I actually thought about that, and that kind of went through my mind. And then I thought I didn't want that to be confusing, so I said I'm going to go a whole different directions. Uh-huh. These kids spend the Math Kids. There was a lot of the setting was in school,
mm-hmm.
and these kids, most of the settings are outside of school, so it was a little bit different. I could have gone a little younger, kind of a more of a prequel, but decided to go just a little bit different direction.
Mm-hmm. So you're up to book 9 in the Math Kids. So is this like how much are you going to try to top? Maybe Magic Schoolhouse. I mean, Magic Treehouse, and like how many books they got, right?
They keep going, and then they'll completely change subjects. And my kids love the Magic Treehouse books, and they were really kind of an inspiration for me because you could learn things and still enjoy the story,
right?
And you know, can it's do still anything about the with story. Books.
Yeah,
got to be good, but it's okay if you learn, pick up a little bit while you're doing it.
Mm-hmm. So how many more books in the Math Kids can we look forward to?
Probably a dozen. Probably we'll see what happens after 12. Uh-huh. But I think 12 is probably about where we'll put an end to that, and then I may, you know, go a little bit different direction. We'll see what Emily and Sam are doing and mm-hmm. and kind of go from there.
So I know we've talked once in a while, but I know you said you had a little bit of interest from outside medias about the properties. Any new news about that? Or
nothing new on that. Although I did reach out to the PBS person who had looked at the Math Kids, and they're saying, hey, this may be even a better fit with this little bit younger They're a little bit shorter stories.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. That would be interesting to see. And I do think, you have to give kids a story. And
And
I think, you know, these are adventure stories, and I think they'd be a good fit for the screen. Probably Emily and Sam even more so, because it's a little bit more action, a little bit less thinking about things.
And I think kids today are a little bit smarter than kids of yesteryear, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Certainly much smarter than I was at that age. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't touch a computer until I was like in high school, you know.
Right. Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Same.
So, you know, I think kids are prepared for more sophisticated storytelling. You know,
exactly. And you still, you know, in some ways, yep, there's a lot more sophistication. And I think you have to approach kids a little bit. It's a little bit, even in school, I think it's a little bit more, I don't want to say it's a show, but I do think there's an entertainment factor.
Right.
And when I ran my summer math camps, it was about how do I get kids interested in the subject? And I did a lot of it through stories, and that really resonated with the kids, and they kept coming back. I've been doing a lot of visits out to schools, and I've been trying to, you know, get kids interested in math, keep kids interested in math, because they start interested first, second, third. You get to fourth and fifth, and they're starting to tail off.
Yeah.
And I've seen that anecdotally, and I've seen it in math scores and so on. So I show them math that isn't math they've seen before.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it with pieces of paper and just looking at numbers a little bit different way and things like that. And I throw a little magic in there to you know, keep that interest. And I've got teachers, I could visit a school every day if I wanted to.
Right. I mean, I always said that, you know, if you can make learning fun, that's the best way to teach a kid. And, you know, these programs that you are saying, I would love to see it. Have you ever just talked about maybe doing a YouTube show?
I've actually thought about that, and I've had some requests for that. And I would have to change it just a little bit, because it's very interactive. I have kids involved with that, and with all the privacy rules.
And film it.
Yeah, I would have to do just me, or I'd have to get a lot of releases from kids going, yeah, put me in there. I'm all good with that. But I've had and asking me, give me some resources. I love what you do, but how do I come up with this stuff on my own? And maybe doing a whole resource set of videos where I say, hey, here's a way you can introduce this topic. Here's a way you can introduce that topic.
I think that would
do a whole YouTube channel on that.
I think that would be like phenomenal. You'd get so many views from that, I think.
Yeah, it'd be so much fun too, because I love coming up with new stuff for for kids to, you know, a new way to approach something they've seen before, or maybe they haven't seen before.
You know, you can be like the MacGyver meets Mr. Rogers. You know,
there you go. Welcome to Mr. MacGyver's neighborhood.
Yeah, or you can even do it like a how-to book. You know,
I actually thought about that too. Actually, a little bit more serious book on. For teachers on you know, introducing topics and getting kids involved, because we're falling behind in math, and that means we're falling behind in all the other hard sciences that go along with math. So it's kind of my goal now is you know, keeping kids interested.
Mm-hmm. So besides Math Kids and Emily, and you have any other projects in the pipeline?
I've been doing a lot of I don't know, I feel like I was a frustrated teacher at some point, so I've been tutoring some kids taking the ACT.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been going to kind of underserved high schools that mm-hmm. don't have the resources to maybe go out and hire somebody, so I do it for free. And I've been tutoring some GED classes.
Cool.
For kids that are going back to get their high school, high school equivalency. So it's been fun. I've been busy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I see more of that, and I'll figure out which one resonates best with me, and still keep books writing, you know, in the meantime.
So, you know, when we first talked, We were kind of like in the tail end of COVID, and you know, you couldn't really travel too much and do a book tour. But now, you know, things are a little bit better. Have you traveled around with the book?
I have been doing a lot more of it. In fact, I'm giving a talk down in Fort Lauderdale. I'm out of St. Louis, and also Atlanta. And I've done, you know, starting to branch it out instead of just going to schools and things in St. Louis area. I've got, you know, schools flying me in to different cities, districts, and given multiple presentations. And looking forward to that. The one in Fort Lauderdale is in a 1,000-seat arena. So I'm going to have to up my game a little bit because they're expecting about 500 to 600 people per presentation. So means I have to kind of go bigger with stuff that I would do in a classroom.
You got to come up with some fantastic magic there. You know?
Right. Going to up my game.
Yeah. So you ever thought about taking the math kids to licensing expos?
You know, it's a good point. I haven't, but I think that would be interesting. You know, interesting to do because I think there's a market out there. I think there is. I think there's a real need for that. And I was at a book signing once in Toronto. And I had about 15 people in my line, was feeling good about that. And I look over and there's a line of hundreds and hundreds of people. And it was Dave Pilkey who does Captain Underpants and Dogman. It's like, so how do we get that many kids interested in books where they might learn a little bit? And nothing against those books. If you got kids reading, great. That's a good thing. But let's take it to the next step.
I mean, it doesn't help that he also has like, you know, cartoons and stuff. Yeah.
Right. And that would be, and I have actually been asked about that on what about, you know, more of a graphic novel.
I was about to ask you that because that's really big now. You know?
It is. And I almost think I overtaken could do that with the right artist.
Right?
Yeah. So, and that would be kind of fun because it's kind of changing the book around and you have to change to that format. But I think that would be really interested. And a lot of kids ask me that when they ask about the book, says, is it a graphic novel? It isn't, but it could be. Let's talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, you do have illustrations in the book. So, I mean, it kind of, you know.
Yeah. And this, the newer book, The Emily and Sam, much more certainly geared down a little bit, much more illustrations.
Right.
It's a new artist that I'm working with.
I was going to say that the art is really beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun. It's, you know, it is very, very kid friendly. Mm-hmm. The Math Kids, was the artist and I love Shannon to death. Her art is a little bit, more sophisticated. I mean, she does kind of paint and Maddie does art for kids books and it's different. It's just a different style and it's really fun.
And I think you have the book around the world now, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think 7 or 8 languages now. Very big sellers in Korea and China and India. And we're now in Turkey and Mongolia and some places. Wow. Yeah, which is amazing to me. The book in Mongolian looks I mean, obviously can't read it, but it looks like a bunch of math symbols on the front cover. So it was like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah. I mean, you also have like, I think you have different art for.
In some of the countries, they just translated the book. In Korea, they not only translated the book, they also did their own artwork for it. And I think they even changed the title. I think it's called The Math Detectives in Korea. And I'm actually talking to the Korean publisher about a visit to Korea to promote the book. That'd be a lot of fun.
You know, you could always do a spinoff with the kids as adults and call themselves Math Detectives. Yeah.
We talked about, I think the first time we talked about the TV series Numbers and, you know, you could kind of go along that route a little bit. So,
I also just started to remember there was a show on PBS. I think it was called 3-2-1 Contact. And it was about a bunch of police detectives that used math. And they also had like different skits involving math.
Okay.
It ran for like in the 90s. I remember watching that show. Okay. So that kind of reminded me of that too.
Yeah, I think it's just finding a way to present. Math is really, to me is very fascinating. And there's so many things that, kids don't know math is all around us. It's in art and it's in, mm-hmm. it's in architecture and it's in nature. And that's what I try to show on some of my presentations. And I get that look kind of going off and there's some amazement in what they're doing. And I do some magic, but the math is actually more magical in my mind and sometimes in their mind as well.
Yeah, because, once they figure it out, it's easy for them to understand it. Sometimes some magic, you can't even understand how they did that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's the good thing about that. So, tell us a little bit about your classes. You have like three classes now, right? That you do, right?
Yeah. So I've been, there's the class that I'm doing on, starting on Saturdays is a kind of an escape room, kind of class. Yeah,
that's the thing I want to talk about. That is such a cool idea. An escape room.
Right. And it can be very, very educational, right? It can be math. Right. It could be whatever topic, right? Cause you're solving clues. How do we solve clues? Maybe I have to solve some kind of logic.
This is the thing I want to ask you about. So when they're in this escape room, are you in the room with them or you just leave them in the room to try to figure it out?
I'm in the room with them. And what they're allowed to do is the first couple of weeks, it's a 6 week kind of thing. And they can earn some hints from me. So, and then they can cash those hints in later on if they need them. So I give them the opportunity to first earn some hints and I want them to figure it out. I'm not going to give up the secrets that easily. Kids are smart. Mm-hmm. They know a ton of stuff. And I think they'll be able to work their way through. And when they need a little gentle nudge, I'll be the one to give that little gentle nudge.
That's funny. Now, you have how many kids?
Three kids.
And how do your kids feel about you as an author? Have they read your books?
But certainly, and certainly my youngest son and my daughter, mm-hmm. They're tough critics. Mm-hmm. Your kids are tough, man. And they, they're going, well, I don't really like, I didn't like this. This was okay. What about this? And they'll give some constructive criticism, but, they're sometimes pretty brutal. In fact, the very first math book had three kids in it. And their names were the same names as my kids because I'm horrible at coming up with names. And my daughter read it. She goes, yeah, Dad, this is really cute. She goes, I don't like it. And I said, what? She said, you have two boys, one girl. And I said, well, look around the room. This is what we have. She goes, you need another girl. Uh-huh. So I actually added another girl in the second book. And from then on, specifically because my daughter insisted on it. So, So no, they've been very helpful. I think they're proud of me. They promote the books and so it's fun. And my one daughter's roommate from college is from South Korea. Ah. And she gets a copy of all of the Korean books. When I get my copies, I always send one up to Eunji and she kind of proofreads it for me to make sure they did all right.
Oh, that's so cool. That's nice. Yeah. So I was wondering, what do you plan on doing after the Emily books and the Math Kids books? Are you going to come up with something new or?
I always have, cause I love to write and that doesn't really seem like work to me. That's fun. I have, about 20 different ideas. I keep notes on different books. Sometimes I'll even write two or three chapters, after that, the next big project I do will be more of an adult novel, kind of mainstream. kind of thing. Probably won't have math in it. But I've got a couple different
any topics. particular genre?
No, I'm not a genre guy. I kind of write and I see where it goes. I wrote a young adult novel that's been published called The Window, and the idea came to me because I heard a screech of tires outside my window, and I looked out, and there was a car that had almost hit a kid on a bike. And I said, "What if?" And that kind of, you know, what if he had hit the kid? What would have happened? Or what if I could have told the car the kid was there ahead of time? So if I knew the future a little bit, that's what kind of presented that book to me. I thought about that for about 5 years and finally wrote it, and because the idea was very clear. But started writing, had a beginning, had an ending, and the middle kind of wrote itself. So
that's a very interesting book. I have to pick that book up. Is that from the same publisher, or is that
no? It's actually from a publisher out of North Carolina. It's called The Window. I'll make sure to get you a copy. It's again, young adult is probably the category it would fit in.
Right. I mean, my daughter's 12 now, so
she's getting close to that book, and she's very bright. She'd be able to pick up on that. On that book, that she'd probably like it.
She likes Hunger Games and stuff now, so that's what she's into.
Yeah.
So I think she should be good with that. So, you already have the Emily books already lined up. So, you're only going to plan 3 books in that series, right?
3 to start with. I think my publisher wants to see how the first, you know, couple go.
Right.
What happened with the Math Kids is I had a contract for 3 books. First one did really well, and then she immediately asked for 3 more. So I would anticipate probably a few more books in that series. Probably wind down the Math Kids, like I said, probably at a dozen books. I'm most of the way through book 11. Book 10 is complete. They're working on artwork for that. 9 will come out this year. Early part of this year, and 10 in the fall, and then 11 and 12 next spring and fall.
You really pump out these books really fast. Have you written all these books ahead of time?
I'm usually, because once I finish a book, it is about a year before it gets published. There's a ton of steps that happen, so I try to keep far ahead of where my publisher is, and it's fine if it sits for a little while.
Okay,
And then we'll start the process. So I usually so book 10 is completely done. That one's been done for a while, and I'm almost done with book 11.
Wow. So now that you said you're retired now, you have more time to write more books, but you also have a lot more time to teach and you know, bring your experience to other people. Now, what about travel? What about fun? What do you do for fun?
I certainly have more travel on my plate for this year. Went to the Galapagos Islands and Ecuador.
That must have been summer. You probably got inspired when you're there.
I'm sorry?
By being there. In Galapagos, like, you didn't feel inspired by that area?
Oh, it was just blown away, taking everything in.
Yeah.
And we went into the rainforest for a week, and that was you know, and I think anything that's
in the rainforest, like living there for a week.
Yeah, so we were there about eight days. So we did a ton of hiking. Had to be with a guide because it was in a protected.
Right.
The rainforest is protected. So, but I needed a guide anyway. But I wasn't going in the rainforest by myself. But we stayed at an eco lodge in the center of Ecuador.
Yeah,
and it was amazing.
Yeah.
So more of that. My wife is an avid hiker. I'm going to hiking this year and. So lots of fun stuff for that as well. And, we'll see how it all works out.
Now, when you go to these amazing places like this, do you get inspired to write from that?
I think I wasn't like I went the Galapagos Islands and said, oh, I need to write a book about being on an island with all these beautiful birds. But
like
all
Darwin?
Of that stuff gets in your brain, right? And
yeah.
And I could be writing a book 3 years from now and go, and those feelings will come back and,
right.
And you know, then it'll end up in a book somewhere.
Yeah, I know a lot of writers tend to put their experience into their stories, you know.
Right. It makes it so much easier to write because you're really just recalling things and typing it in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not having to invent a whole new world or anything. I'm you know, these are real experiences. So and even in, you know, there's some things in The Window, for example, that were real life things from my life. You know, things that you just remember and they come back out, and it's some of the strongest writing because it's real stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it was great catching up with you. You know, we can't really, you know, have you wait so long to be on the show again. We got to try to make it a little bit shorter next time. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm going to get a big project that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we'll have a lot to talk about next time.
Ooh, okay. That's you know, that's you're hinting at something big there. Let's see what that is.
Little teaser.
Yeah, yeah. Was that an exclusive? Do I have an exclusive on that?
I will give you an exclusive on that. Absolutely.
All right, that's good. Now, thank you, and God bless your family and your future projects. You know, continued success. You know, I wish you all the great things, you know.
Thank you, and you as well. And it was great to catch up. And next time we won't make it quite so long.
Yeah, it's been busy for both of us. Yeah. All right. Thank you again.
All right. Thanks.